So as we look forward to electing another deacon couple, I thought it was important to look at how the Bible instructs us regarding this role. The word deacon simply means servant. And so as Christians, we are all deacons in a sense, for we are all bondservants of Christ and called to serve one another in this life, not holding one in higher regard than another, as Philippians 2 verse 3 tells us. But in the functioning of the church, specific members are elected to help in leading and ministering within the church. Mature Christians with a desire to grow in that faith and to see others grow in their faith, to serve in the functioning body of Christ. This need was first recognized in Acts 6 in the early church. We read in Acts 6 how it was instituted that by the disciples to elect others to help along in the ministry. In Acts 6, verses 1 to 7, we read the appointment of the seven. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we see that the deacons were elected in order to help in the ministry of the disciples. The ministry grew greatly, as we read in verse 7, that the word of God increased, the number of disciples increased, and that the priests were obedient to the faith. A great company. And so we see that how the role of deacon was to help along in that ministry. And Paul further adds to the description in 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3 and verses 8 to 13. Paul writes, Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience, and let these also be proved. Then let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We read that deacons are to be honorable and honest in character, not to have intentional deception, which is double-tongued, not given to much wine, not given to greed. They are to be holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. We know that the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a mystery to those born of the Spirit, but it certainly is a mystery to the unbelieving, to those not born again. And so as we read in verse 10, a deacon is to be one who is first proved. This is the idea of being tested, examined, and recognized as genuine. And we as Christians are to do this amongst ourselves, to test our own self. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 says, For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Meaning we are to confess our faults, our sins to the Lord, and to be in a right relationship, living for the Lord. In so doing, we are found to be blameless because we are covered with his righteousness. But if someone is walking in sin and not confessing it to the Lord, nor is turning away from it in conviction, but trying to justify it, in that they are not found blameless. So we are instructed to walk in accordance of the word of God. Verses 11 and 12 go on to extend the same testing for the household of a deacon. The wife of a deacon is to be held to the same standard as her husband, for they serve as one, and wives serve in the office of deacon as well. We read of this from Paul in Romans 16. In Romans 16, the last chapter, when Paul is writing to the faithful, the body of Christ, he commends and greets them. And the first person he commends is a woman named Phoebe, who was a deacon in the church of Cenchrea. We read in Romans 16, verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. The word servant here is used as is the same word that Paul used in 1 Timothy for deacon. And he goes on, the word in Romans 16, verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she has been a succorer of many, and of myself also. So we see the important role women had in serving as deacons alongside their husbands, as well as under the leadership of the disciples. Paul concludes in verse 13 that those who serve in the office of deacon purchase or attain a good degree. The word degree comes from the root word bathos, which means depth or height. Jesus used this word in the parable of the sower. In Matthew 13, verse 5, in speaking of the ground that was stony, he said, some fell upon the stony places, some seed fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, meaning they had no degree, there was no depth to the foundation of their faith. These seeds did not last because they had no root. The ground was not rich and deep as God provides for those who seek after him. No, it's through the boldness of faith in Jesus Christ that we are able to serve in any capacity. And I'm sure if you ask just about anyone in ministry, in any position of ministry, the vast majority would say they felt underqualified or ill-prepared and not worthy of serving in that position at least at one point in their life, if not continually. Personally, I certainly would say that of myself. But it's the Lord that does the qualifying, and it's the Holy Spirit that prepares the heart and speaks for us. We are simply called to boldly step out in faith. And we remember, we always have to be reminded not to hold ourselves in higher regard than another. For we are fellow laborers, and all glory is to be given to God. Romans 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And in verse 36 of Romans 11, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So as we prepare to elect new deacons within our church, may we all be in prayer, trusting in God to anoint whom he has called, knowing it's the Lord who does the work through his faithful, that those who humble themselves before the Lord, he will use, and that we need not worry about feeling qualified or have the right skills to serve. God knows the heart. We make up all sorts of excuses not to serve, but God is with us, and he sees us through even the most difficult trials. And we're to be incredibly grateful and overwhelmed with joy that our Lord Jesus didn't make up excuses at his appointed time to go to the cross. No, we are simply to trust and obey, for God will take care of us, and he will use each one according to his purpose when we humbly submit to his will. And so that is our prayer, and I ask that you continue to keep this in prayer as we look forward to the end of this month, the election.